Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All praise, all glory, all honor be to you, O Abba Yah, and your son, Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of life this day, Father, for this beautiful day, Father, with the sunshine. We've experienced a lot of gloomy days for the last couple of weeks, Father, but we thank you for this Shabbat day, Father, that you have blessed us with a beautiful sunny day, Father. Father, we ask you, Father, to continue to show your loving kindness and your mercy towards us, Father, for all the multitude of sins, Father, that we commit against you, Father, daily, Father. Father, we appreciate you allowing us, Father, to come into a right relationship with you and with your Son, Father. And we thank you, Father, for blessing us with good teachers, Father, that have your spirit, Father, and brothers and sisters, Father, who also, Father, are led and guided by you, Father, to help feed this flock of the universal house of Beth Yahweh, as well as this little house of Beth Yahweh, Father, that you have tucked here in Baltimore, Maryland, Father. It's not enough words to express the gratitude, Father, that we have for what you do for us, all the prayers that you answer for us, whether great or small, how you look after all of us, Father. You know, you take care of our Ema, you take care of our Zakanes and our Zakanas, Father. You take care of us, Father. You know, we're your people, the flock under your care, Father. And you continually make sure that our daily needs are met, Father. Not always our wants, Father, but you always make sure that our daily needs are met, Father. Sometimes you take us through peaks and valleys, Father, through left turns and right turns, Father. Sometimes, Father, we hit lows in our life, Father. Sometimes we hit incredible highs, Father, when we sit and we talk about your word, Father, and we feel your spirit among us, Father, and the sparks just fly, Father, and then that fire starts to brim, and just sometimes it just explodes, Father. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for looking after our brothers that are not close by, Father. We thank you for keeping our brother Baruch for all the time that he has been away. How quickly does time go? I remember the day my brother left, and now my brother has signed his papers and is a free man from the United States military, and your words came true. You protected him from every hurt, every harm, and every danger, Father. Thank you, Father, for looking after everyone, Father, whether great or small. Thank you for looking after our children, their parents, Father. Thank you for looking after our grandchildren, Father. Thank you, Father, for everything, Father. You protected our comings and our goings until we were able to make it here this day, Father. And again, there's no words of gratitude to be expressed, Father, to the kindness and to the love that you showed us, Father, even when we don't deserve it, Father. You look after our brothers out there in Delaware. You know, we got several brothers that are out there doing great work all over this world, Father. And just ask that you continue to look after those brothers, those sisters, for the things that, Father, that they do every day, Father, to express your love to humanity. These things, Father, we ask and pray in Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach's name, and we say Amen. Toda Abiyah. Baruch Atah Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the Universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, 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 amen. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no chief, overseer, or ruler, provides her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So your poverty will come as a robber and your scarcity as an armed man. Once again, Shabbat Shalom, fam. This is your brother Ahab L. with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is the fourth installment of Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And today's lesson's topic is the watchman must speak. Man, I tell you, it's so funny how Abba works, because I've been sitting and agonizing. I didn't speak not one time to my brother this week about, oh yeah, Abba gave me a lesson, because he ain't give me no lesson. But he's been giving me information, lots of information, information that must be spoken about, information that must be heard. And I got confirmation from it from several brothers, even up to recently. Just received one from my Zakane that I ain't heard from in a minute. Happy to hear from my Zakane. Family, sometimes things must be said, because things are of the utmost importance. And we've gotten away from a couple of things, or at least seemingly to me as a group, we have gotten away from certain things. We haven't had a quote unquote preparation meeting in quite some time, family. And now is not the time to be slack. Now is not the time to be unprepared. Now is not the time to not be working on contingency plans, on ways of being prepared, on how things will take place in the future. I know sometimes, when I listened to my brother's lesson last night, and we did talk about this earlier this week, about oppositionally defiant disorder. And you know who wrote the textbook on ODDR, as my brother was stating last night? The Nation of Yisrael, family. If you want to know who, and I believe my brother said this to some degree last night, who the poster child or the textbook of how to be oppositionally, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, defiant, read the scriptures. Read the scriptures from the very beginning, from creation. Humanity has been defiant, the old defiant. I can't get across my mouth today, right? And then you distill it, you bring it on down, you zoom in the scope, and you get focused, and you see where it goes from the serpent to Kua to Adam to Cain, Tubal-Cain, the people before the flood. Then you come after the flood, you find Nimrod and a whole slew of others who were oppositionally defiant. But then now you narrow the scope even more. You get very myopic. And then you look at the Nation of Yisrael. See, whereas people in the past, or at least prior to that time, had a very general relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. But he called a specific people that he said to them, if you obey my voice, if you follow and observe my commandments, I will be your God and you will be my people. See, my brother and I talked about this earlier this week. No, Abba does not have unconditional love. Not in the sense of you can do whatever you want and he ain't going to punish you for it. He said, I forgive them for their sins, even though I took vengeance on their deed. And he will love you to the very end. He will give you an opportunity to repent and change your ways up until the very end. But if you do not, the word says that you will be in the same place that the dragon, as well as his fallen angels will be. He said that had to be expanded because of humanity. So wherein his love for you is unwavering, when he loves you and you show him how much you love him, the moment you depart from that, he will do what he needs to do. And it seems cold-hearted, but he said straight up that some people will be told who have claimed to do wondrous works in his name. And we ain't talking about the false name. He was talking at that time to Hebrews, Israelites. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. I don't know who you are. And that's the last statement we ever want at that time when we close our eyes. to be told that statement. And I know sometimes you hear messages and you're like, oh, here we go again. Oh, that again. Oh, this again. Well, you know what? For thousands of years, the coming of the Messiah was preached unto hundreds of generations throughout the annals of time, to the point where people started to lose hope, lose focus, and started to disregard the words that were coming out of the prophet's mouth. But there was a day when those who watched saw a sign in the heavens. And when they saw those signs in the heavens, they started on a journey. And they followed that star until they found the calculation point at to which it was hovering over. This is in the scriptures. And they found the baby Yahushua lying in a manger, swaddled. Y'all heard the story before, right? You heard the story before you even became a believer. You heard this story about what took place at the coming of Moshiach into this world. Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, right? Yeah, they hijacked the story. But there are truths in that story. It's in the book of Lucas. There are truths in that story. So sometimes when we hear these things and we disregard them, because my brother, Ivy, put out a couple of videos yesterday, TikTok videos. Very interesting videos. And what I liked about the second video in particular, we were told back in 2017, prior to 2017, when everybody was making this whole uproar about the eclipse that was coming and it was going to go across, straight across the middle of the United States of America. We were told at that point that was the beginning of the end of the United States of America. That Yahweh was showing us that this country was going to be divided and broken in half. We were told that prior to these events taking place. Were we told exactly who would come on the scene? No. Were we told exactly how it would take place? Not necessarily. The scriptures have that in there, though. But we were told, we were forewarned. And if you see any poll on any polarizing issue, whether it's abortion rights, which is so funny that this country is so concerned about, are so adamant, there are people in this country that are so adamant about the destruction of an unborn baby, yet you see countless commercials about saving animals in shelters. They don't want these animals to be destroyed. Go to the kill shelter. We're trying to demolish the kill shelters. You want to demolish the kill shelters for animals, for dogs and cats and all sorts of vermin. But you're in an uproar when somebody says, don't kill an unborn baby. Give it an opportunity to live its life. You see where our country is? You see the collective mindset of our country? You take any issue, Second Amendment rights. You have 50% of this country that are stone cold believers, and I have this constitutional right, and I'm going to exercise it. Then you have on the opposite side, why do you need that? But yet and still, so many of them who say, well, why do you need it, have either been victims of violent crime themselves, or make sure that they have a security detail along with them wherever they go, who are armed, or on the low, arm themselves in a concealed fashion. You have those, the 50% straight down the middle, are either conservative or progressive, right? So now, we see there was another sign. I don't recall hearing about this, but I did the research and it did happen. There was another eclipse that came down the opposite way, right down the cross section of the country, dividing it east and west. And the first thing that came to Abba popped into my mind when that happened, four winds, north, south, east, west. Look at what's happening right now. Pay attention to what's happening in the United States of America. You have people in the West and the southern east and southern western part of this country that are talking about seceding from the Union, civil war because of what's taking place with the border, them allowing people to just flood the United States. And is not, my, I am the son of first generation American immigrants, so I am not anti-immigration. But I will say this, you got to do it the way my parents did it. They did it legally, and they struggled. Because there was a time they weren't allowing people that looked like my mom and my dad to come into this country, and my aunts and my uncles. They gave them a very hard time to do it. But they patiently waited and abided by the laws of these United States of America and did it the right way. So I am against not doing it the right way. Then on top of that, it's documented that we have all sorts of people that have no good intent coming here to bring us harm. I'm not saying get involved in these issues, not at all. Not 1% of me is saying getting involved in any of these issues, but understand and know that these issues will impact us in some way. Now, granted, we have been isolated from it and where we are in Baltimore, but down in D.C. and Virginia, though, they're feeling the impact of it. They're just not talking about it on the news. Now, this thing that took place up in New York where they beat up the police officers, I feel like that's a little stage right there. I don't see that necessarily happen. You're not coming here to seek asylum and then you're going to put a target on your back and put yourself under the microscope. Like, that's just me. I just feel like I've become very untrusting of the mainstream media and what they put on the forefront, because all they want to do is manipulate you and get your emotions involved so that you're not thinking rationally. We're seeing that's happening with a lot of people, even with those who are like, hey, we're going down to the border because we're going to save the United States of America from these illegal immigrants. Even them, y'all acting, my brother stayed last night, you're acting off of improper energy. Y'all not thinking. Y'all are so quick to want to pick up your weapon and use it against somebody. Y'all not even thinking rationally through all of this. But in between the midst of this, nobody's talking about the attack on the power grid. Oh, they're alluding to it, and they're starting to bring it more to the forefront. But you know what they're telling everybody? Prepare, prepare. We about to do something. Prepare, prepare, prepare. We about to do. Now, yes. All of this is part of the Almighty's plan at the end of the day. 100% absolutely it is. Just like the invasion of the Grecians upon the ancient Hebrews, among the ancient Israel. But Abba always told they were coming. He told us what to do. He didn't say just sit back and have faith. I'm going to take care of everything. Which at the end of the day, yes, he does have faith and take care of everything. But some people died, Israelites. Good Israelites, not just the bad ones. My man Eleazar was a good Israelite. He wasn't a bad Israelite. Them seven sons were good Israelites. They weren't bad Israelites. They weren't the sinful ones. Matter of fact, they were the ones who were like, I won't do it. Yes. And then some of the ones who are willing to hide their circumcisions to assimilate and fit in. I'm talking about our people of color, Israel, who looked at the Grecians' male parts and said, oh yeah, we gonna fit in with y'all. We gonna hide the covenant. But there were some good ones that got caught up in it. And there were some bad ones who escaped some of it. But at the end of the day, they were forewarned to prepare for what was coming to them. Danger, invasion, war. Yahushua did say there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, but he didn't say don't do nothing. He did not say that. He said, watch for this sign. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. I see a lot of brothers are putting down the alcohol and other things that taint your mind. He said, be sober, be vigilant, watch, observe. He didn't say don't turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to what's going on. He did not say that. He just said, don't let that bother you. Don't be alarmed by it until you see a particular sign. And that, for the most part, was for that time. But he let us know in the end time, they're coming after the people. The only interest, the only threat, the only, out of everything that we see going on in this world, the only thing at the end of the day that HaSatan is most concerned about are those who keep the commandments and believe in Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach. So pay attention, because they're showing the staging ground, what they call the saber rattling. We're coming. We're ready. We're itching for it. So don't think that just because the focus isn't on us just yet, that we don't need to be concerned. By all means, this is the time to be the most concerned about it. And the funny thing is, like I said, you know, there's brothers out there who don't use scriptures, but when you hear the things that they're talking about, by all means, there's so many verses in the scriptures that can be attributed to what they're saying. They're talking about a black swan event that will take place. This is not may take place at this point, will take place. What is a black swan event? Something similar to 9/11, where everybody's going to be so lulled asleep and not think. When what did the word say when they say peace and safety comes sudden destruction? We are at the brink of large scale conflict. They just gave up 3 sacrificial lambs in the military. All people of color is what they're putting out in the main. And this is their reason now that they're going to use to strike. But y'all striking 2 countries that weren't necessarily ones y'all blaming for the strike. What is up with that? So my brother sent out the video. And it shows America being divided into 4 pieces. Wasn't that just in a movie that was out on Netflix? Leave the World Behind, and everybody was wondering, well, what's up with that picture with the United States divided into 4? One section green, one section red. They're giving us the tells of what they plan on doing and how they plan on executing it. Are we listening? And me, personally, having been involved in a few blackouts, know how harrowing it is when you have young children. When you're old and you by yourself, you may not be as concerned. You will get lonely, I'm gonna tell you that, for real. You will get frustrated. I'm going to tell you that for real. It's a lot easier when you got somebody else you can rely on, whether it is your wife, whether it is in situations, your children. Don't be caught without certain things, fam. We've been talking about this for a while. I hope everybody got a flashlight at least, got some rations, got some water. You know, one of the brothers talk about the domino effect. And what the domino effect will, if they're telling us they're going to have a cyber attack. It's not even a secret. Major corporations have said, I believe it's Goldman Sachs, have said, look, we need to have a contingency plan for when the lights go out, because the lights are going out. We know this for a fact now. We must be prepared. And some of these messages may sound unpopular, but guess what? That's par for the course. It's par for the course. We're going to see that. First off, we're going to go to a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man sees danger and hides himself, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. What did Yahushua already tell us in the word? Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. The serpent, knowing he has no defense other than his teeth, and if his head gets crushed, which you can crush it, knows to protect protect your head, protect your neck. That's rule. That's one of the first rules in fighting. Protect yourself, protect your head, protect your corners. Have a good defense. As well as you're showing how to effectively hit, you are also simultaneously being shown how to effectively avoid hits and defend yourself. Sent a video to some of my brothers of this man, and he says you got to be control your anger when you're in that ring. And my man got frustrated, and the old man, a skinny old man, long lanky arms, is baiting him. Come on, so the man swing at him, he missed. He pops him. The old man pops him. The man gets frustrated. So the man rope-a-dosing, the older man rope-a-dosing, your guy swings and he backs up on the rope, uses the force he has from coming off of the rope and knocks the younger man, who is bigger than him, clean out. Clean out. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. Why is he repeating that? He said, oh, ye simple ones, how long will you enjoy simplicity? Don't be that simpleton. Don't be that simple man. Proverbs 30, starting at 24. He said, there are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise, are not a strong people. Yet they provide their food in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rock. See, that's an unclean animal, but it has the wisdom. It's wise enough to understand and follow Yahushua's instructions. Say, don't build your house on sand. That coney knows. A coney is a rabbit, type of rabbit, that if I am fast enough to make it to my place of refuge, the predator can't get to me. If I can make it to the rock, his teeth, his claws. Yeah, he can growl and bark and roar all he wants, but he can't get through to my rock. He can't get through to my rock. 327, the locusts have no king, yet they advance in ranks. When a locust swarm comes, one of the plagues was what? Locusts. See, we don't have reference to the devouring locusts over here in this country. We really don't have no point of reference. But in those countries, and a matter of fact, just a few years ago, I think during the pandemic, there was a locust swarm all over the world. When the locusts come, and they ain't got nobody saying march on other than Yahweh, nothing stands in the path of a swarm of locusts. Nothing. When they come to devour, it's done. Count. When you see the swarm, it's too late. If you haven't put anything in your storehouses, matter of fact, speaking of storehouses, what was Joseph's claim to fame in Egypt? Who had to go to Egypt to get provisions? See, Israel don't think that you're immune from it. He'll protect you from it, but you're not immune from it. But you got to make preparations. You got to be prepared. You got to have the mindset of preparation. Those of us who are able, look here, I'm going to tell y'all something. Those of us who are able, exercise your rights, please. Work through the fear. Work through the fear. Because here's what you have to consider. If the one who you are depending upon in the flesh to protect you goes down, what state are you going to be in? If you're unable to match force with force. Because they're not pitying young. They ain't pitying old women and nothing in between. As my brothers often state, we see it every day. Young little nurse coming into work, minding her business, just wants to go in to do her job and help cure people. Gets attacked and robbed. and will probably end up at some point taking care of the same young man who had no, did not have enough concern for her to rob her. 3028. You can catch a lizard with your hands, yet it is in the king's palaces. See? Know how to move around, know how to operate, know how to get low. Isaiah 21, starting at verse 6. Once I get to it, read it. From Isaiah 21. For the master said to me, go, said a watchman, let him declare. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna start reading from chapter from the verse. Forgive me, family. I'm gonna start. I'm starting Isaiah 21:1. And it just so happens to be fallen is Babylon. So this goes in line with Revelations, I believe, the 18th chapter, 18th or 19th chapter. Forgive me, I can't get my Sheba-El on. The burden of the wilderness of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south sweep through, it comes from the wilderness, from an awesome land. A grievous vision is declared to me. This is the prophet Isaiah talking now. He ain't said a happy vision. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell y'all about my dream, too. Now, I had some dreams a while back. Yeah, I'm a dreamer of dreams. Sometimes, not all the time. And I shared this with two of my brothers. I may have shared it with some others a while back. I know I shared the second one. Both were about bears, right? The first one about the bear was, it was a great mountain in the distance, right? Almost like a Mount Everest type mountain, right? It was in the distance, afar off. Then out of the sky dropped a bear on top of the mountain. Boom! Like Donkey Kong. If you ever remember the old Donkey Kong movie, it was like that, right? And it was moving crossways, dum 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 dum. You heard the dust coming up off of his feet, dum 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 dum. He's making his way down the mountain, cross section, like dum 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 dum. Then he's grunting while he's coming out, dum 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 dum. Then he gets to the base of the mountain and he faces, and it's us, the Yahweh congregation, amongst other people. It's like we were in an old like pueblo, like an old town in like Colorado or like the Midwest. We were in like an old like mining or farmer's town, right? And he looks towards us and he grunts and you see the snort come out of his nose and he starts charging towards us. And that's when I woke up out of the dream, right? And the second dream I shared with y'all, I think a while back, maybe last year sometime, we were all in the park, the Druid Hill. This is different from the one I had a while back when we were actually in Patapsco. This one we're at Druid Hill. But we're in like a yurt, in a tent, in like a circus tent, you know, like not a circus tent, but like, you know, a yurt is like a round tent, almost like a teepee, but it has raised sides on it, right? And it was light. And I'm coming to service. I'm a little late. I'm coming to service. And as I'm coming to service, it's almost like, you know, the first part where we were, where it had the little hill, right? No. And I'm getting to the hill and I'm coming up to where we're having service, right? And I see a bear and two wolves walking together looking for the camp, right? And I'm like, oh, snap, I got to get low. So I kind of get low, and I'm like crawling like Spider-Man, you know, around the hill area to traverse to get to everybody to warn them where the bears were. And as I come in, I notice how dark it was on the inside where we are. And I can see everybody that's a member of Beth Yahweh congregation down here in Maryland, everybody, right? Even the ones who we only maybe sometimes encounter during Sukkot, everybody that was in there. Now, I distinctly remember Ariel and Dave. As I came in, I said, hey, y'all, you know, there's a bear and two wolves coming from outside, coming towards us to get us. Yo, we need to be ready. And I remember Ariel and Dave was like, oh, he's joking. And I'm like, yo, this is not a joke. It's not a game. And the only one who took me seriously was Samaria. And she was like, well, we got to sing to y'all. We need to make a new verse, y'all. And the new verse is going to deliver praises to Elohim, which I got, by the way, Rabbi. He gave it to me. Now it's going to be caught off the presses. And that's when we all started singing. And then it started to get light in there. But The thing is, nobody, they took the warning for a joke, except the person whose name means watchman. So we're taking the knowledge and we're taking the light and we're playing with it. It's a joke to us. But we're supposed to be watching. We're supposed to be paying attention to these things. Not just world events, but the state of affairs within the congregation, different households, what's going on with individuals, families, mothers, fathers, sisters. We're supposed to be paying attention to that. Somebody's supposed to have their pulse on everything that's going on. But again, you know, so I had a shared with two brothers, you know, I don't usually pay attention to signs. I'm not a sign person. But I noticed something in my house, and it was a box, and it had the number 1, the letter B, and the number 4 on it, right? And at first I was like, oh, slick, man, that would make a nice license plate. So I was thinking something, you know, because my sister got a real slick license plate. I was like, yeah, I'm going to create a license plate for myself. But Abba said, dummy, that's vanity. Pay attention. 1B4. So I'm thinking the 1B4, right? And it is the 1B4. Abba said, no, dig deeper, look into the Hebrew, right? So I said, okay. Aleph, Bet, Dalet. And look up the Aleph, the Bet, and the Dalet. Matter of fact, let me see if I can find it, because my rabbi and I, we, you know, we discussed it. My rabbi and Ariel and I, we discussed it. Let me see if I can find it. I found it to be very interesting. So the Aleph, the Bet, and the Dalet, right? And I got this from Wikipedia, right? Aleph, Bet, Dalet is to be lost, disappear, perish, die, destroy, and transitively to be lost or to go into ruin. And I'm like, oh wow, Abba, that sounds very ominous. So I looked at it the other way. Turned it backwards, right? And it was the Dalet, the Bet, and the Aleph. And that means beer in Hebrew. Deba means beer. One is Abed and one is Deba in Hebrew. And I was like, wow, Abba. What's up with that? Now, they're not reporting on a lot of things. Now, when you think about the prophecies and the scriptures of the beer, none of them are good. Even when you look at what happened, you know, there's a duality in everything. When you look at what happened with the prophet Elisha, when the kids were mocking him and they were calling, you bald head, you know, mocking him as an elder, you bald head, instead of she-bear came out and ate him up, right? Which is good that Yahweh sent the she-bear, and it said that Yahweh sent the she-bear to eat him up. Excuse me, sorry. But then when you look at the bear in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, when it talks about what the bear did, you know, it's not a good thing. Destruction, it stamps things under feet, right? And there's a nation right now that is trampling, trying to stamp other nations under its feet. And it's going under the radar. And, you know, the national symbol, well, actually, the national symbol of Russia actually used to be the eagle and still is officially the eagle, but is mostly associated with that bear, right? And I'm not trying to get into no, you know, nuances about prophecy or whatever. But the fact that Abba is showing us this, and these two words, these three letters are not good letters, and again, it didn't alert me until he brought the dreams back to mind and the fact that it involves Beth Yahweh. And the first one, like I said, I woke up before the bear actually attacked us, but it was coming for us. And the second dream was the kind of the comforting dream that we are going to be protected from it, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to look for, but the protection is going to come from us being watchful and staying in the presence of Yahweh, not being playful with what we have been given. You know, and another thing about it, and I looked up the nature of the bear. The nature of the bear is he is the land apex predator. He fears nothing. There's nothing, not even a pack, a full-grown Grizzly bear, and that's the type of bear that dwells in Russia. Grizzly bear, full-grown grizzly bear, which can weigh up to upwards of 1,000 pounds. I think the biggest one they had in work was 1,200 pounds. It doesn't fear anything other than another bear, right, that can match its strength. And even then, they're going to fight to the death. But one of the things about bear, and it's a very fast animal, a full-grown grizzly bear at 1,200 pounds can run close to 40 miles an hour. That's a car speed, right? Okay. And it has 6-inch razor-sharp claws, just like cat's claws. It has those. They're not retractable. They're constantly out. But the uniqueness about the bear and what the bear does with its prey is, and it's an omnivore, it eats anything, but when it wants that meat, it's going to get that meat. Unlike other predators, wolves, apex predators, wolves, big cats or whatever, they tend to suffocate their prey before they actually devour them, not the bear. The bear is known for eating its prey alive, and the reason is because it has no fear of anything other than another bear coming to get it, and even then, it's going to fight the bear before it gets back to its food. It devours it whole and alive. Doesn't wait for it to die. Doesn't give it a merciful death. It totally annihilates it. In some instances, it will swipe at a full-grown moose, break its back, and now it knows it's immobilized. He takes his time, and he devours him little by little. It's merciless. Has no mercy in it. Back to Isaiah 21, starting 1. The burden of the wilderness of the sea as whirlwinds in the south sweep through. It comes from the wilderness, from an awesome land. A grievous vision is declared to me. The treacherous man deals treacherously, and the destroyer destroys. Go up, Elam, attack. I have stopped all of Medea's sighing. Therefore, my thighs are filled with anguish. Pains have taken hold on me, like the pains of a woman in labor. Where have we heard that before? I am in so much pain that I can't hear. I am so dismayed that I can't see. My heart flutters. Horror has frightened me. The twilight that I desired has been turned into trembling for me. Excuse me. They prepare the table. They set the watch. They eat. They drink. Rise up, you princes. Oil the shield. For Yahweh, the master, said to me, go set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees. When he sees a troop, horsemen in pairs, a troop of donkeys, a troop of camels, he shall listen diligently with great attentiveness. He cried like a lion, Master, I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime and every night. I stay at my post. He cried like a lion, Master, I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime and every night. I stay at my post. Behold, here comes a troop of men. This is 21:9. Horsemen in pairs, he answered. Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the engraved images of her gods are broken to the ground. You are my threshing and the grain of my floor. That which I have heard from Yahweh of armies, the mighty one of Israel, I have declared to you. The burden of Duma, one calls to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning comes and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, come back again. So the point of that is, watchmen, stay on your watch. Don't blink. Don't get distracted. I know you must physically blink, but don't get distracted. Be on the watch. Be on the ready. He said, oil the shield. We've talked about the shield a tremendous amount. Oil your faith. Make sure your faith is well oiled. Make sure you have that spirit. Ezekiel 33. Start of verse 1. Yahweh's word came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and tell them, when I bring the sword on a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and set him for their watchman, if we If when he sees the sword come on the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. Now, he ain't talking about an Israelite right here. He's talking about a people of the land. So we have a lot of people. We got a lot of people out there. Zakane just sent out a video, and unfortunately, I don't think it went to the line that everybody's on, from a dude named Canadian Proper. Now, I for a long time stopped listening to him because I felt like he was just putting out information to gather people to his YouTube channel. But in the last couple of videos, he's brought a lot of things to light. And one of the things that he said many things that I thought were relevant, but one of the things that he said that was relevant is this. He said, we will put hundreds of thousands of dollars into insurances, whether it's car insurance, home insurance, money that we will never recuperate in the event if we never have any reason to use it. But he said, when you tell people, and that is preparation, right? That's preparation. But when you tell people prepare, they look at you like you're foolish. Because you're setting up insurance to help get you through what could be a natural catastrophe or something that just could go wrong. Again, the power goes out. A tree falls in your neighborhood and your power goes out for a number of hours. Are you prepared for that? It doesn't have to necessarily be the most catastrophic event, but are you prepared for that? The power goes out for 8 hours. And it's pouring rain outside, and you've got a sump pump and a basement that you are known is prone to flooding in the event that it rains or anything. Do you have an energy source to keep the food from in your refrigerator from spoiling? If nothing else, what about warmth to keep yourself warm in the winter? Remember Yahushua said, pray that your flight not be in the winter? He said, 33:3, if when he sees the sword come on the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and doesn't heed the warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and didn't take warning. His blood will be on him. Whereas if he heeded the warning and he had delivered his soul, but if the watchman sees the sword come and doesn't blow the trumpet and the people aren't warned and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So whenever the watchman speaks, whenever the watchman says something, I know sometimes my brother and I, we talk about it, it's like, you know, but Abba told us we need to keep this in the people's ear. Abba showed him that's something we need to keep in the people's ear. Because I don't want nobody's blood on my hand. I don't want anybody's soul on my conscience because I didn't say what Abba has been showing all of us, not just me. He's shown it to all. If you got time to watch anything on any of the social media platforms, I'm telling you it's going to pop up and he's going to show you. But now what you're going to do, you're going to swipe away? Are you going to take notice of what a lot of people are out there telling us? Yaka'el has gotten away from saying this, but he used to say this all the time. Troublous times are coming. Those who fail to plan to fail. We know it's going to come. And not to be in panic mode, but you know what? But you know what? You know what? Helps prevent panic? Preparation. And it doesn't necessarily mean to be physically prepared, but are you mentally prepared, emotionally prepared, spiritually prepared? And check this out. Don't sit back and try to rely on a brother or sister, because look at what happened with the five wise and five foolish virgins, right? He said there was 10 of them, five wise, five foolish. Five, the wise ones, took enough oil just in case it took a long time. Five foolish said, nah, we got enough to make it through. You sure? You want a quarter of a tank of oil? Now we'd be all right. But the other ones, the wise ones say, yeah, we got a full tank, plus we got a reserve tank in the event that he take longer than we expect. And they said, the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. They said, heck no, I ain't giving you none of my oil because I might miss this. This is important to me. More important to me than it was. Sounds cruel, wasn't it? More important to me than it was to you. Sounds cruel, wasn't it? So it says the five, they said, yo, nah, y'all go back to the vendors and get what y'all need. And they did that. They went back to the vendors, got what they needed. By the time they came back, the bridegroom was gone. So the bridegroom is coming for those who are well prepared and vigilant, not for those who are foolish and don't make the necessary preparations. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I hope I'm not offending anybody. I hope everybody is taken to heart. Don't be oppositionally defiant to the messages that are coming to you, Beth Yahweh congregation. Because we are par for the course when it comes to that. Yes, us. Us. I include myself in that us. I think about Ours Arcane that comes out every year to Sukkot. You know, we see him every year. And one thing for sure, two things for sure, third thing is guaranteed. He got an extra sight. And he's got and he's got an extra tent. And he's always got his tent dripping. You hear what I'm saying? You go inside his tent, my man is hooked up. He is in the lap of luxury inside his tent. But he's always got extra. Just in case. Just in case. And it always seems to come in handy. Wisdom. Wisdom. He's been around for a while. He knows. He's got the hoary head. That wisdom is a matter of fact. What is that? Where it says the hairs, the hoary hairs are the beauty of the older man. That's in Proverbs. I think it's 29. Proverbs 20:29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. As we can see from the Zakanes in our congregation, each one of them has a different thing that they have tried to impart on us stubborn young ones. One Zakane has been telling us to prepare. One Zakane has been trying to drip pearls of wisdom on us. One Zakane has shown us what happens when you prepare. Even though we may only see him once a year out Sukkot, one Zakane has the ability to help us exercise certain rights. Sorry, Zakane. I'm not going to say your name. But he has the ability to help us if we want to in so many ways. So many ways. But what are we going to do? What are we going to do with it? We have access to all this. We have another Zakane that's been silent for a while, but he's been trying to help us with the edification for our soul. He decided to speak today. How many of us are going to look at that video or ignore the video? But it's got important information in it. We don't have them for nothing. We got our Zakana. We got Emo. And several other Zakanas now in the congregation. Last scriptures. So I got to teach later. So I'm keeping myself, keeping it all together. I save my energy, right? First Kings 13. I'm going to start at verse 1. Probably read the whole chapter. Is it the whole chapter? Yep, read the whole chapter. Excuse me, family. Sorry for that. Behold, a man of Elohim came out of Yehuda by Yahweh's word to Beth El. House of El, house of Yah. And Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar by Yahweh's word and said, "Altar, altar," Yahweh says, "behold, a son will be born to David's house, Josiah by name. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and they will burn men's bones on you." He gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar will be split apart, and the ashes that are on it will be poured out." When the king heard the saying of the man of Elohim, which he had cried, which he cried against the altar of Bethel. Now remember, this is when we are all caught up in all kinds of sin. Jeroboam put out his hand from the altar, saying, "Seize him!" His hand, which he put out against him, dried up so that he could not draw it back again to himself. The altar also split. The altar was also split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of Elohim had given by Yahweh's word. The king answered the man of Elohim, "Now intercede for the favor of Yahweh your Elohim and pray for me that my hand may be restored. My hand may be restored me again." The man of Elohim interceded with Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored to him again and became as it was before. The king said to the man of Elohim, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward." The man of Elohim said to the king, "Even if you give me half of your house, I would not go in whether, I would not go in with you, neither would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it commanded me by Yahweh's word, saying, you shall not eat no bread, drink no water, and don't return by the way that you came." He was given three very specific instructions. This is the prophet. This is the messenger. This is the one who housed the seed of the mighty one, right? Three specific instructions. Eat no bread, drink no water, don't return the way that you came. 13:10. So he went another way and didn't return by the way that he came to Bethel. He followed the first instruction. 13:11. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and one of his sons came and told him of all the works that the man of Elohim had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. Their father said to them, "Which way did he go?" Now his sons had seen which way the man of Elohim went who came from Yehuda. He's on his path, following the instructions. 13:13, he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. He went after the man of Elohim and found him sitting under an oak. He said to him, "Are you the man of Elohim who came from Judah?" He said, "I am." Then he said to him, "Come with me." Read that again. Then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat bread." 13:16. He said, "I may not return with you nor go in with you. I will not eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by Yahweh's word, you shall not eat no bread or drink water there, and don't turn again to go by the way that you came." He said to him, the other man, "I am also a prophet as you are, and an angel spoke to me by Yahweh's word, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water." He lied to him. Let me read that again. He said to him, "I am also a prophet as you are, and an angel spoke to me by Yahweh's word, saying, bring him back with you into your house that he may eat bread and drink water." He lied. 13:19. So he went back with him, ate bread in his house, and drank water. As they sat at the table, Yahweh's word came to the prophet who brought him back, and he cried out to the man of Elohim who came from Judah, saying, "Yahweh says, because you have been disobedient to Yahweh's mouth and have not kept the commandment which Yahweh your Elohim commanded you, but came back and have eaten bread and drank water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body will not come to the tomb of your fathers." Obedience See, don't look at being oppositionally defiant as you are just angry and just want to be, you know, stamp your feet, cross your arms, and be woefully disobedient. No, you could be very subtly disobedient, and it still falls under disobedience just because you ain't kicking and screaming and yelling and acting a fool and causing a scene and making all kinds of commotion. Don't, you could be very quietly, oppositionally defiant. Don't look at the extreme end of the spectrum. Okay? Because it doesn't have to come with a whole lot of angst and anger. Because the very same people who are writing the book on what opposite defiance is are also oppositionally defiant. You can be very subtly oppositionally defiant. Doesn't have to come with extreme emotion. We don't see that here. I'm going back to 13:22. 1 Kings 13:22. 13, love Yahweh your mighty one with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Says the 22 letters of the alphabet embodied in human flesh. But came back and have eaten bread and drank water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your body will not come to the tomb of your fathers. 13:23. After he had eaten bread and after he drank, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. When he had gone, 13:24. When he had gone, a lion met him by the way and killed him. His body was thrown on the path, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the body. Think about what the lion and the donkey both stand for. 13:25. Behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown on the path and the lion standing by the body. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who brought him back from the way heard of it, he said, it is the man of Elohim who was disobedient to Yahweh's mouth. Therefore, Yahweh has delivered him to the lion, which has mauled him and slain him, according to Yahweh's words, which he spoke to him. He said to his son, saying, saddle the donkey for me. And they saddled it. And he went and found his body thrown on the path, and the donkey and the lion standing by the body. The lion had not eaten the body, nor mauled the donkey. The prophet took up the body of the man of Elohim and laid it on the donkey and brought it back. He came to the city of the old prophet to mourn and to bury him. He laid his body on his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother, alas, Aki. After he had buried him, he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, bury me in the tomb in which the man of Elohim is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by Yahweh's word against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, will surely happen. After this thing, Jeroboam didn't return from his evil way, but again made priests of the high places from among all the people who ever wanted to. He consecrated him that there might be priests of the high places. This thing became sin in the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the surface of the earth. And one of the things I noted in here was, you know how in the military, especially among those elite forces, they say no man left behind. The prophet did the same thing. So we see where they get these things from. The prophet said, you know, even though I was commanded by Yahweh to speak this word on his behalf because of his disobedience, I had to go rescue this man's body and give him a proper burial. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all I have, family. I actually went over more than I wanted to go over today. If anybody has any questions or anything they like to add, by all means, do so. But if not, I'm going to close out and speak with all of you later on today. Hallelujah. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous, the trustworthy. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin, all fulfilled. You are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Abiyah, all we can do, Father, is ask you for your protection, for you to lead us, for you to guide us, for you to keep us in the way. Father, where we have fallen short, Father, fill us up, Father. Where we have gone astray, bring us back, Father. Help us to know and to understand, Father, to have faith in you first and foremost, Father. To follow your guidance first and foremost, Father. To keep our eyes focused on you, another first and foremost, Abba. Help us to not be obstinate. Help us to not be defiant. Help us, Father, to know and understand, Father, that you are a fire by night and cloud by day, Father. Father, all we can do is rely on you, O Lion of Judah, to protect your sheep. These things we pray and ask you in Rabbi Melech, Yahushua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. Talk to you later.
See, God's been too good to me to take things like